Well, today we bring back a good friend of this radio program you haven't heard in a while, and I hope you're going to enjoy what he has to share.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder, and I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Now, I mentioned earlier, mentioned yesterday, and even talked about it a bit on Friday, I need to take a little time away. I'm having a number of doctor appointments this week, and it's going to be very difficult for me to do the entire radio program and keep up with this schedule. I've been doing this radio program now over 4 years, and during that time, I've done my best not to really take any time off. There's always been a program prepared for every weekday, including holidays and Christmas and Thanksgiving. It doesn't matter. I've just felt it important to maintain the program on a regular basis. But over these past couple of years, and it's not always been easy when dealing with the bladder cancer to try to record in advance to be ready for surgeries and recoup time, it's been rough. And right now I'm dealing with a health issue that is concerning, but I've got a lot of appointments this week to get to the bottom of it. I've got a very accelerated heart rate. Everything for the heart scans and all that stuff, all that looks good. And so it's a bit of a mystery. It wears me out. Makes it hard to sleep some nights. I just don't feel like sleeping. And part of me says I need to take some time off. I need to kind of regroup. And my good friend Jim Calhoun said that he would be delighted to help me out this week. So you'll be hearing from him today and again later on this week. And going forward, we're just going to have to play it by ear. I'm just not certain how things are going to shape out. I'm hoping at some point this year and maybe into early next year for my wife and I to spend some time actually in Florida with family. I do have some ministry work that I really need to be attending to down there, plus some technical work. All this has been pushed off for so long. And maybe combine a little mini vacation and a little bit of a change of scenery for my wife and myself and time with family. And so I really do need your prayers going forward more than you know. Some days just sitting down and trying to clear my mind and open this microphone up to talk to you, it's not been easy. It really hasn't been easy. Now, before the week is out, I do have some interesting stories that I've been collecting that I do want to share. And something that is in the back of my mind, I'll share during this program, maybe at the break or before the end. But for now, I want to reintroduce a good friend of this program to come to the microphone, your friend and mine, Jim Calhoun.
Thanks, Bob. It's truly great to be back on Truth to Ponder. Well, we made it through the election. I'm kind of surprised. It seems that in my mind, I recall in 2020 when the counting stopped in Pennsylvania and also in Georgia that something was up. Well, it seemed like, to me anyway, that the counting stopped again for a while. And when you had returns coming in from Arizona and other states in the West, and nothing was being finalized in Pennsylvania or Georgia, made you wonder. But Donald Trump prevails. And I really think that this time there's a new sheriff in town. I think that the Donald Trump today is going to be a lot less naive, going to have a lot more political savvy, and I do think he's going to surround himself with better people. We can hope and pray that he does. But I'm really excited for a lot of reasons. I'm excited because I think that peace could actually break out. And I know that I've been pessimistic for the last year and a half, but I couldn't help it. Seeing the trajectory of everything was maddening to me. But now the trajectory, I think, is going to go the right way. Not because of just one man, but because of one movement. and how terrified the globalist elites are of Donald Trump. They're terrified of him because he knows who they are. He knows where they live. He knows what they've done. And the kinder, gentler Donald Trump, I don't think is going to be around too much. At least I can hope that he's a lot more, let's say, down to the point, not mean, but stern. But what I wanted to talk about this show was post-election, and I would like to give you my opinions of what I think Donald Trump needs to do. And it's not that I'm a know-it-all, and it's not that I have an agenda to push, other than I want to see America great again. I want to see the rule of law reestablished. I want to see things going the right direction. And so I do have that agenda, is I want everyone to prosper. But let's look at things how they really are. As I was watching the night unfold, and I want to take just a second here to do a shout out to a podcaster and broadcaster on YouTube. He goes by the name of Depressed Ginger. I don't know why. Kind of an odd name. But for some reason, my internet was not working well on election night. I tried to pull in some of the more popular streams as far as election coverage. But it seemed like it took forever to load and it was kept rebuffering, and I didn't like that. And so I started flipping around on YouTube, and the only broadcast or podcast that would come in without buffering every 5 or 6 minutes was Depressed Ginger. And at first I was a little disappointed because he's just a one-man show like I am, and he's just doing his work out of his bedroom in his house. And when you're looking at a presidential election for the United States of America, to be watching someone doing election coverage from his bedroom in his house, well, you know, that could be a little anticlimactic, but after about 10 minutes, I started really listening, and this guy really knew his stuff. And he did about an 8 or 9 hour broadcast or a stream, live stream, and about every hour or so, he'd say, "Oh, I got to go to the bathroom. Be back in a minute." Then he'd take off for a minute and he'd come back. And that part was hilarious because, you know, he's just a guy working out of his house. But he not only called each state before they were called, and I'm talking hours before the networks called them, he was even naming the percentage points that they were going to win by. For Kamala Harris, he knew everything about how well she was going to perform, in what state she was going to win and by how much, and the same with Donald Trump. And state after state after state started just falling in line exactly as he said hours prior, the way they would. And people started catching wind of it. And by the end of his podcast and by the end of his stream, he had around 60,000 people that were listening to him in his bedroom. And I have to say, he was by far and away the best election coverage that I've ever seen. And so I subscribe to his channel, and I'm going to keep him on my radar because this kid really knows his stuff. So a big shout out to Depressed Ginger. You might want to check him out. Okay, now what this show is about is I want to give you my opinion of what Donald Trump should do. And as I was watching the returns come in and watching the states turn red and blue, it was almost like watching 2020 and 2016 and 2012. It's just a repetition. You know, you automatically color California blue. You automatically do Washington and Oregon blue. You automatically do Colorado blue. You automatically do most of New England blue. You automatically color Illinois blue, just automatic. And I ask myself, why is that? Well, I was listening to another podcast. I didn't catch this gentleman's name. But the day after the election, he was explaining why that was the case. Every state that colors itself blue, with the possible exception of Colorado, but all the other states do not require voter ID with a photograph. And so every state that's just chaotic free-for-all as far as voting, you can automatically color them in blue. Now, why is that? Because dead people are voting. People are voting multiple times. Illegals are voting. I imagine there are several pets that vote. They don't require any information about the voter. And so you can have people that are crossing state lines and they can vote in their state and cross into one of these blue states and vote again. I heard some of these states had curbside voting where you just drove up and they handed you a ballot through the window of your car. And it was just a free-for-all. That's the first thing Donald Trump needs to do. He needs to make it mandatory federal election law that you have to have a photo ID to vote in all 50 states. If he would do that one thing, then we could break this deadlock of automatically coloring states blue, because what's happening is that the people of those states, whether they vote Democrat or Republicans, immaterial. Their votes have the possibility of being canceled by illegals or someone's pet or someone's dead aunt, or it's just not right. And so if we want to take America back, we have to not let the illegals have a say-so in how we do business. And so if I was Donald Trump, the first thing I would do is have a federal mandate that all 50 states have a uniform code of how they vote, and everyone has to show a valid photo ID, and they have to verify their address. If Donald Trump would do just that, and nothing else in the rest of the 4 years that he's going to be president, then he will have done America a great service. That's the first thing I think he should do. Another thing he should do early on is he needs to get a handle on the real disinformation. I didn't watch any of the networks because I can't stand to watch these people, but I did watch some clips of them whining and crying about how the election went. And these people are supposedly journalists that are supposedly fair and balanced and not having a clear bias. But it's so obvious that these people are on the payroll of the Democrat. They're on the payroll of the DNC or George Soros or something similar. These people are spewers of propaganda. And to have them come out and hate on the people that voted for Donald Trump when 70-some million people voted for Donald Trump, and you have these elitists that think that they are smart on some cable news network saying that these people are all stupid because they voted for Donald Trump. Now you know why the news media is shrinking. To tell over half of the population of the country that you supposedly serve, you tell them that they're stupid? Well, that's not a very good recipe for success. And so I would like to see Donald Trump do something about the disinformation that is bought and paid for by George Soros and by the Democrat National Committee and others that are in that camp. I watched a clip of, I think her name is Joy Reid. I don't watch those people, but had pictures of Mussolini and Franco of Spain and Adolf Hitler. And she was spewing that Donald Trump was just a fascist, just like they were. And they had all these pictures of Hitler and other fascist dictators. And then they said that Trump had already declared that he was going to put people in camps and he was going to execute people that didn't agree with him. And these people are spewing that, and they call themselves the mainstream media. I've been imploring people for years to quit listening to these people because they're poison. Now, I don't exactly know what Donald Trump can do, because we do have the Constitution and freedom of the press, and I think that we should maintain freedom of the press. But to have people going on nationwide media that are actually employed by the media companies that are spewing such hate and such disinformation, I think there should be consequences for that. I know that Donald Trump always calls out the lying media, and they're worse than they were 4 years ago. And I'm going to predict right now that MSNBC and all these other news outlets, if you want to call them that, I think that they're going to shrink into obscurity. I think they might stick around for a while, but they've totally lost any credibility, at least with half of the people. And I don't want to sound mean here, but I watched some of these videos of the meltdowns the liberals are having since Donald Trump was elected, and I think there's a lot of psychotics that are Kamala Harris voters, a lot of people that really need mental help. And I think the mainstream media is going to be stuck with just those type of people as their audience. Now to get on with what Donald Trump should have on his short list as far as an agenda. We need to reestablish women's sports for women only. We need to take this woke garbage that's nothing but a poison. And I will add here that while I was watching these supposed news broadcasts and some of the meltdowns, I was watching the spirit of Antichrist. And so with that information, go watch some of the liberal talking points and some of the meltdowns and really look for that spirit of Antichrist. It's real easy to see. And these people wonder why they're losing control. Well, they're losing control of their own thought processes. It's almost like mass psychosis or something. That's something really evil about these people. But they should not allow men pretending to be women to be in any women's sports. None whatsoever. I don't know the number of females who have been crippled for life because they're competing against a man that has denser bones, that has a much stronger structure as far as upper arm strength and capability to produce power. And I really think that Donald Trump, one of the first days in office, is he needs to make women's sports for women only. Now, I don't watch a lot of women's sports. It's not because I don't like women's sports. I don't watch a lot of sports at all. I don't have time. But I do know that the young women that work very hard, they train very hard, they devote their life to their sport, they abuse their bodies and how hard they train sometimes. And they do that not only for the thrill of competition, but they do that to challenge themselves. And to just have someone say, well, Steve over here thinks he's now married, so we're going to put him in. You have to compete against him. It's not fair to the hours and hours of excellent preparation that the female athlete has went through to get to the state of being very competitive. And so wrecking an entire gender's sport because one lunatic that's a man that's pretending to be a woman. So you have to change the rules for everybody to allow this man to go in and possibly cripple, and mark my words, someday it will happen if they don't stop it, that there's going to be a man that's actually going to overpower a woman in some sport to the point where she's either going to be a quadriplegic or possibly even killed. And so that should be very high on his list. Also, day one, he needs to tell Israel that, yes, we're going to support you in every way we can, but the bloodshed has to stop. I have a feeling that talks like that are already happening. I think Donald Trump truly is a man of peace. And I think he's a man of his word. And he says he wants peace. Well, we can't have peace when we have innocent people being slaughtered. I don't care if they're Israelis or Palestinians. I know that I've made several people upset with me because I've come out against the genocide that's happening in Gaza, in other places in the Middle East. and they think that I'm taking the sides of the Palestinians, and the side I'm taking is on the side of humanity. I don't want Palestinians harming one Jewish person. I don't want anyone in Israel being harmed in any way. But I don't want Israel to harm anybody either. With me, it goes both ways, because two wrongs don't make a right. It's time for peace. And I hope that Donald Trump can get the ball rolling. And as far as the Ukrainian situation, since Trump has been named as president-elect, I see an avenue for peace. And Ukraine's not going to like it, because Russia is going to keep the territory they occupy. They might even ask for more. But the war was destructive, and it was manufactured. Shouldn't have ever happened. And I see that Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin are, I don't think they're having direct discussions, but I think that there's some backdoor channels between different people, surrogates, so to speak. And I think that there's a mutual respect between Putin and Trump. And I think Putin and Trump could come to some sort of an understanding and defuse World War III. Now, I've been terrified of World War III for quite some time. And I'm sure most of you that listen to Truth to Ponder know that. But I saw no diplomatic solution whatsoever. But I was studying some Russian media, and I saw a speech given by Vladimir Putin that said that Trump was a real man and someone he could deal with. And also, they were excited that Putin and Trump were going to meet. And so they seem to think the meeting is going to take place. And that just made my heart jump for joy. Because there was no such thing with Kamala Harris or Joe Biden or any of the current administration. Absolutely no thawing of relations. It was just bitter and hateful. Just in the last few days, it's like a breath of fresh air. Now, I'm not saying that World War III has been averted. We have a long ways to go before we can actually say that's going to calm down. But not having any diplomats at all is something that just terrified me. And now I see that there is a possibility that adults can sit down and hash things out. And so I do have some hope there, and I know that Donald Trump needs to make that a priority, is to get that war in Ukraine stopped. And also, I think that the United States needs to come to an agreement with Taiwan and quit antagonizing China. The only reason China is really wanting to go in and take over the government of Taiwan is because of the fact that the United States has been pushing China's button. Illegitimate Joe Biden has done everything he could to start a war with China, and he's done everything he could do to start a war with Russia. Now, January can't get here fast enough to get Trump in office, but I really think that Joe Biden's going to try something before Trump can assume power. I hope I'm wrong. The next thing that Donald Trump should do is he should double and redouble his security. He needs to be out of the limelight, out of the range of snipers, rifles. I know that there have been two lawmakers that are Democrats that have both called for civil unrest. They haven't came right out and said to riot, but they've insinuated that that's what they should do. And there's murmurings among some of the Democrats that it's not over till it's over. And it's not over yet. And I really think they've tried twice to kill President Trump, and I think they're going to try again. And so we need to do everything in our power to stand behind the president and pray for him. I do think there are assassins that want him dead. I watched a video that came from Ukraine with Ukrainian soldiers burning an effigy of Donald Trump and also machine gunning a mannequin that was dressed in MAGA gear, and they called Trump a traitor, and they want to see him dead. And so it wouldn't surprise me if a Ukrainian hit squad would come try to kill Donald Trump, and it wouldn't surprise me if they're already here, and it wouldn't surprise me if the Iranians tried to kill Donald Trump. I really do feel that there's something in the air with the derangement syndrome. I know people like me get called a xenophobe and a homophobe and a this phobe and a that phobe. I'm going to call these people Trumpophobes because they're really out of it. And so Donald Trump needs to do everything in his power to stay safe. And also, he should protect his son. I think he should protect his family from being kidnapped and other things. We live in such an evil world, but I'm sure he's already thinking of that. But those are a few of the things that I think Donald Trump should start with. And I'm going to be talking the second half of the program a lot about immigration. But I'll start right now by saying that he needs to finish the wall. And we need to deport. Now, I know there's some families that have crossed because they didn't have it well in their country. But the only way you're going to correct your country's problems is to hang in there and face the problems and take care of business and change your country and make it better. Become a patriot in your own country. That needs to happen. So these people fleeing to the United States so they can get free handouts is not helping the country they're fleeing any, and it's not helping this country by adding another mouth to feed that is not contributing. They suck the life out of our system, our healthcare system, our financial system, our educational system. These people come in and they get everything for free, and it's not right. And Donald Trump needs to deport and get that wall built. And I really do appreciate Bob Bierman letting me guest host today. I do appreciate it. And on the second half of the show, I'm going to be talking more on what I think Donald Trump should do in his first few days back in office.
And thank you so much, Jim. And Jim, we'll be back in just a moment. I want to thank him for really bailing me out today and again later this week. It means more to me than you'll ever know. If you're just tuning in, this is a week that is full of many doctor appointments to deal with the new medical issue that I currently have. The bladder cancer seems to be in check, but right now we have an issue with a very fast heart rate. And so I have all kind of tests and doctor's appointments all this week. And so really doing the program without the help of Jim Calhoun to step in for at least a couple of these days is really hard. So I thank him in advance for the effort that he is giving me during this time. This radio program needs your prayers. When I started it 4 years ago, I didn't know how long it would last. Maybe a few months, maybe, you know, a year, two or three. Didn't expect it this long. I just wanted to get through the pandemic and the election of 2020 and then have somebody else come on board to be a part of the program with the real goal in my heart and my mind. What I really wanted to see happen was for this program to grow in a different direction and with a co-host or two, and then eventually I could back away and, you know, be a visitor to my former radio program. And I still pray that that becomes a reality. But right now I need your prayers for my health and my strength and to be able to discern what God would have me to do. If you would like to contact us, you can visit the website truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. Our mailing address is Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, and the zip code 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The heart that makes the life. coming up.
Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out getting some very special gifts you're going to really love in a moment. Proverbs 15, verse 15 says, all the days of the downcast are bad, but a good heart has a never-ending banquet. What's it saying? It's saying your life is not made by what's around you, by your circumstance, your situation, by what you have or don't have, by money or success or marriage or big house. None of that can make your life. You can have all that and be miserable, and you can have none of that and be joyful. For all the days of the downcast are bad. It doesn't say that those who have bad days are downcast. It says those who are downcast have bad days. And a good heart, though, has a never-ending banquet. It doesn't say that those who have a never-ending banquet have a good or happy heart, but those who have a good or happy heart have a never-ending banquet. Your situation doesn't make your heart. Your heart makes your situation. Your circumstances don't make your life. Your life makes your circumstances. You can have a never-ending banquet. Imagine, you want that? Well, you don't need a lot of money. You don't need a successful career. You don't need acceptance. You don't need fame. You don't need all that stuff you think you need. You need one thing, a good heart. In Hebrew, the word is tov, means a good, a beautiful heart, a cheerful heart, a fine heart, a glad heart, a joyful heart, a loving heart, a merry heart. That's it. A heart that's beautiful is going to have a beautiful life. A heart that is fine is going to be satisfied. A heart that is loving is going to have grace, a heart that gives thanks. You may not be able to change your surroundings, but you can change your heart. Change your heart from depressed to cheerful to thankful to peace to giving, a giving heart. You know what's going to happen? Your life's going to become a never-ending banquet with blessings, abundance. The secret of having a successful life isn't success or money, fame, or relationship or anything else. It's a good heart. Want more? Ask for The Never Ending Banquet on CD. Now, the free gift for you, the mystery hidden for 2,000 years in the sands of Israel. Awesome, better than Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's the mystery of the temple doors on CD. You're going to love it. And Sapphire is your daily vitamin supply for victorious life in God. How do you get these gifts free? Easy. Remember Jesus' Hebrew name, Yeshua, and that's it. Dial it. To receive your free gifts, just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA, YESHUA-1. Now, I invite you to minister with me and bring the good news back to the people who gave it to you, to Israel, and the unreached peoples of every tribe and tongue. It's amazing. You want to touch the world? You're going to make a difference incredibly through shortwave radio. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. You can do it. Yeshua. It's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct. Here's the direct number. Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. It's Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying you can have a never-ending banquet. Shalom Aleichem in Messiah, Rabbeinu, our teacher.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Welcome back to the second half of Truth to Ponder. This is Jim Calhoun sitting in for Bob Bierman today. And it's so good to be back on Truth to Ponder. I've had several people write to me and ask me how come I wasn't doing shows on Truth to Ponder anymore. And the answer to that is very simple. Bob Bierman is always trying to grow this program and take it in new and fresh directions. And also, Bob didn't want to take up a lot of my time because he knows I'm busy out here on the ranch. And so he took the show in a little bit of a different direction. But I'm going to be back from time to time and guest host as needed because I'm a loyal friend of Bob Bierman and I'm going to drop everything I'm doing and help him when he needs help. And he got a hold of me and asked me if I could help out for a few episodes, and I'm very happy to do so. And I want to take this moment to tell everyone that programs such as Truth to Ponder truly do need your support. I know that since I quit watching the mainstream media and I start watching and listening to what I call the new truth media, I have grown as a person just immensely. When you get caught in that echo chamber of mainstream, whether it be Fox News or CNN, it doesn't matter. It's all fake news. It's all generated. All these people are told what to say. And I know we have a lot of fans of Fox News, but even Fox is keeping you uninformed, or shall I say ill-informed. I have my favorites that I listen to on shortwave radio and on podcasts and live streams, and there are journalists out there that are just absolutely out of this world awesome. But none of them are in mainstream media. I love college football, and I'm a fan of the Big 12. And there are several Big 12 broadcasters that are just head and shoulders above anything ESPN has. They're head and shoulders above anything Fox Sports has. These people are just absolutely wonderful. And each and every one of them, like myself, we produce our shows in our own studios. And most of the people's studios are in their house. Well, I've moved into winter quarters. I now have my studio in my house, but generally, my shows are produced in a livestock barn. Yeah, you heard me right. You can't get more real than that, down on the farm. But I want to tell you folks that there is truth out there and there's great media. Bob Bierman is one of them. Truth to Ponder is a show that I think that really deserves and needs your support. And at the end of the broadcast, Bob will come in and tell you a little bit about how to donate to this program to keep it on the air. And I always appreciate my time talking to the great audience of Truth to Ponder. Well, I'm going to touch a little bit on me just for a second. I never want to make the show about me. But since I've been away from the Truth to Ponder microphone here for, several weeks, a month or two, I want to tell you that I'm doing well. My show is doing really well, the Living Off Grid Power and Information Show. And I have a music show that's doing okay as well. So things are definitely doing well with me. My only issue is I don't like Arthur very much. Old Arthritis, I do not like him. And we're having change of weather here, and every year it's kind of painful for someone like me that has a very close and personal relationship with Arthur. And as I broadcast this, there is snow in the forecast, and I know that I'm not prepared for snow, but here it is. And I also want to tell you that no matter what's happening in your life, that God does care, and He shows it in so many ways. And I've had some things happen here the last month or two that has really got me off my game. And every time that I start to worry, and I don't worry much, I am a man of faith, and I have my faith that everything's going to be fine. But you know that deep down gnawing that can just go right to the marrow of your bones, that's really hard to shake those feelings. But anytime I started getting inklings of having those kinds of feelings of dread, God has stepped in and shown me love and caring and patience. And just today, He richly blessed me. And He blesses me every day I wake up. But He shows me in every way that He's watching out for me. And no matter what you're going through, you do have a Heavenly Father that loves you very much. I really need you to embrace that and tuck that away in your heart. Now, getting back to my opinions of what Donald Trump should do, we need to stop the fentanyl coming into this country. We've had a quote-unquote war on drugs, and we've lost that. But when you look at the younger Americans, it seems like the entire generation, and I know I'm painting with a broad brush, and I want to apologize to those of the younger generations that are drug-free. But I think they will agree with me that it seems like almost everyone from that generation has a favorite recreational drug of choice. And it's like a rite of passage. And I see young people that their children are being taken away by the state because the parents would rather do drugs and get another tattoo than feed their children. And don't tell me that doesn't exist, because I'm seeing it happen in several families close to me, where the parent feels like all they have to do is put a tattoo, is tattoo the name of their child or maybe an imprint of the baby feet on their skin somewhere, and that constitutes love, and then they just kind of walk away from the child. And as the adults want to act like just children, all they want to do is play around. They don't take life serious. And we have all these generations that are just being ruined by drugs. And I don't know what President Trump can do about stopping the drugs. But if the United States is going to survive, we have to stop the drugs. Now, China traditionally has been ruled by other countries. I know that England, for a time, ruled parts of China, and England has ruled lots of countries around the world. And you look at that little island that's called England, and you ask yourself, how could such a tiny island have so much territory worldwide? And how were they able to just keep power? The answer to that is simple. Back in colonial times, when England would go in and confiscate or conquer, whatever you want to say, a territory or a country, one of the first things they would do is get the people addicted to drugs. Opium was the drug of choice. And as long as you kept the population all drugged up, well, they were easy to control. And the English used that tactic to their advantage very well. Now, I want you to look at our population, our younger population, and how much rampant drug use that is in that whole generation, that whole new society. And it's done on purpose. And it's to keep these people dumbed down, keep them numb, keep them disengaged. And I don't have a lot of contact with young people. But the last several days, I've had quite a bit of contact due to a friend that had a car wreck, due to a friend that had a stroke at the wheel and ended up rolling the car. Kind of a double whammy there. And I'm seeing the kids come in, and I guess they think they're showing their support. But they come in, and their language is foul, and they talk real loud, and they turn the TV up, and laugh and yell and scream, and here's somebody that's fighting for their life, fighting for their health. I finally had to leave, or else I would have made a spectacle of myself. I would have told everyone it wasn't my house, it wasn't my place. That's why I didn't do it, but that's why I didn't say anything. But I so much wanted to throw these people out of the house and say, you idiots, don't you know that this person is fighting for their life? And this person has been told not to see any flickering lights, and to stay in a nice quiet place, and you're here turning the TV up and trying to talk louder than the TV and flickering lights everywhere and laughing and screaming. And I've never seen anything like it in my life. And I'm talking about people that are 25 and 30 years old. I'm not talking about two-year-olds here. One family came in with twins that cried for 2 hours nonstop, and I'm not exaggerating. There's something wrong with these kids. They weren't sobbing. They were forced crying. They were beet red. And they screeched until they went hoarse. And this was all in one room with someone trying to recover. And the reason I'm telling the story is that whatever happened to common sense, whatever happened to common decency? I know I'm veering away from the Donald Trump issue here a little bit, but it all ties in. Our society has been scalded very, very bad. And Donald Trump needs to do everything in his power to reestablish real education, real honest-to-goodness education, and all these initiatives to try to train people that they were cheated out of everything and that they need reparations and their parents are evil, and all that has to stop. I would like to see Donald Trump usher in a new age of true education. And I think the main way to do that is to abolish the Department of Education. You might want to reestablish another similar type institution, but they all get corrupt in the end. It's time for America's children to be taught civics, to be taught manners, to be taught critical thinking. Just common sense. And I hope that Donald Trump can embrace something that will help make young men and young women of value, because that's what this country needs. We have enough people that are, I hate to say it, but they're low-value people. And who knows, I might be a low-value person myself. But I do understand that America needs high-value people. And high-value people don't just simply happen. They have to be molded. And so I think that's something that Donald Trump should try to fix society. I know that's going to be hard to do. But where there's a will, there's a way. And I think that there is a way. We just need to have the right people to do the right things at the right time. And it's past time that we tried to help our society get up out of the just abyss that it's been in. Another thing I would like to see Donald Trump do early on in his presidency is to not make BRICS an adversary, because that's something that we can't win. The reason I say that is I think Richard Nixon sealed our fate back when he normalized relations with China and started trading with them and encouraged companies to invest in China. And right now, the BRICS nations have more of the economy, world's economy, than the G7 nations. But they manufacture most everything. And the countries that are in BRICS are the most heavily populated countries on Earth. And so why would we want to be adversarial with the most populous nations that make the most goods, that have a bigger economy than we do, and actually economies that are growing and currencies that are gaining value against the dollar? You know, I sell eggs when I can find buyers, and it never ceases to amaze me that less than 100 years ago, you could buy a dozen eggs for 2 cents. And now, a dozen eggs is selling anywhere between $2 and $4, depending on where you live. Whereas 80 years ago, they were 2 cents. You can chuckle about that and say, well, people didn't know how to price their eggs. Well, yeah, they did. 2 cents was worth between $2 and $4, depending on where you live. And so if you had 10 cents in your pocket, well, then you could buy quite a few things. You look at old menus from years gone by, a cup of coffee, a nickel, hamburger, 15 cents, French fries, 10 cents. It would be hard to eat a dollar's worth of food. And we're being told that if you go to a certain restaurant and you get a hamburger for $5, that you're getting a bargain. Whereas that same hamburger 80 years ago is 15 cents. And what I'm getting at is that our dollar is being devalued greatly. Just look at the price of gold. That'll tell you that. Donald Trump needs to really stabilize the dollar with his policies. But we can't have the most populous nations that produce the most goods as enemies. I'm not saying the United States should join BRICS. I don't think they would allow that. But I think that we should not look down our nose at the BRICS nations. I think we need to become trading partners with the BRICS nations and allow them to have their autonomy that they want and not try to punish them with sanctions. He needs to repeal a lot of sanctions against a lot of countries. The Biden administration has done a lot to damage our prestige. And that's another thing that Donald Trump needs to do is bring our prestige in the world back up, but I think he'll do that. But there's changes in the wind. Most people feel it, they see it, they sense it. And trying to hold on to yesterday at all cost, that won't work. But we need to not be a follower either. We need to be the leader as much as we can. And we need to have strategic partnerships, and that's where Donald Trump, I think, could do a lot of good, because he really does know how to deal. And so I think that's something that
can really help us out is his business sense. There's a lot broken, and there's a lot of things that need to be done. But the things I've mentioned so far, I think, are vital to fixing just this horrible trajectory that we've been on for several years. Now, this next thing I'm going to say is going to be real controversial. It's just my opinion again. But I think it's time to show the people who think they're above the law that they're not. Now, I know there's some out there that will say, well, Donald Trump's a convicted felon. He's getting away with it. If you really want to know the truth of the matter, is that it was a giant gotcha to keep him from being president again. Mark my words, everything's going to be thrown out real soon, not because he's president-elect, because they failed. They were trumped-up charges, pardon the pun, but they were trumped-up charges just to get rid of him, to make him disqualified. They had to change laws and change statutes just to prosecute Donald Trump, and that in itself is illegal. If you want to take things down to the brass tacks, all of that really stinks what they did. It was highly illegal and unethical. You might say, well, what Donald Trump did was illegal. Actually, if you want to know the truth, it wasn't. It was only made illegal because it was Donald Trump that did it. Donald Trump needs to help heal this country. He needs to help bring us all together. And so far, I think he's doing that, but I don't think the left is going to listen. For some reason, they have painted him to be the most evil thing that's ever lived. And they'll tell you he's racist. They'll tell you that he is a rapist. They'll say a whole bunch of things about Donald Trump. Say he's a convicted felon. And they don't have the facts of the matter. I heard that he only wanted to be president to make himself more rich. Well, I hate to tell you that he's not taking any salary. You can't say the same about the left, who I think are lunatics. But I think Donald Trump is going to be good for America. I just hope that they can quit these stupid impeachments and all the things they did the first 4 years he was in office. But personally, I think that him appointing Jeff Sessions as Attorney General was probably one of his worst mistakes. And I don't think he's going to make a mistake like that the second time around. And also, I think that since he's not going to ever run for re-election again, that he can actually do what he wants to do. But the thing that I said wouldn't be very popular is I think he needs to hold people to account. I know that when he was running, he said he was going to lock Hillary up back years ago. And then when he became president, he did nothing of the sort because he wanted to heal this country. I understand that. But I think it's time that the governors and the congressmen and the senators and the people who are high up in government, it's time that they answered for their crimes of treason, their lying under oath to Congress, the things that they got away with is just horrible, making a multi-tiered justice system. And Donald Trump needs to do what he can to make this justice system to be fair, honest, and whole, and something that people can be proud of. My perfect example is Hillary Clinton. If I did one-tenth of what Hillary Clinton has done publicly in front of cameras for all to see, I would be in prison. But yet, since she's Hillary Clinton, they give her a free pass. Like when she scrubbed her computers and got rid of all these emails after they were put under subpoena. Nobody
Nobody should get away with that. And I think that it's time that we were looking at our justice system and fixing it so we have justice for all. I really think that's something that needs to happen. Well, I wish Donald Trump Godspeed. I wish him the best. I'm glad that the election's over. I'm very glad I'm never going to have to listen to Kamala cackle ever again. That was so annoying. I know there's other things that are just as important that I didn't touch on, but I ran out of time. But pray for the United States. Pray for Donald Trump. Stay thankful to our Creator. Thank Him every day for His Son, for His grace, for His love, for His compassion. I know that everything is going to happen according to God's plan. So we need to keep the faith. We need to stand firm in our relationship with Almighty God. And we need to look at things realistically. And this country is in a lot of trouble. But this past Tuesday, we went a long ways to putting this whole country on a course correction. And this course correction is exactly what we need. I'd like to thank Bob Bierman for allowing me to speak to his great audience. It's always a great pleasure. And I'll be dropping in, guest hosting on Truth to Ponder now and again. I appreciate you tuning in. Now back to Bob.
And thank you, Jim Calhoun, for being so generous with your time to help me out this week. As I mentioned before, this is a week full of various tests and doctor's appointments to get to the bottom of a health issue that I'm currently dealing with, and it's urgent that I take care of it. I look toward the future of what this radio program is, has been, and what it could be. And I've been doing it now for over 4 years. And as long as God allows me, I'll continue to do it or be a part of it. But I'm also recognizing that with the outcome of the election, and there'll be a lot of changes, Christians have some opportunity we better use. We better take advantage of this time. We came very close to being in a more suppressed society, and that day is eventually still going to come. And I really want to deal with those issues going forward in the future. I was thinking the other day, in the context of American Christianity, you've got scattered all over the landscape some small rural churches that they can't afford a pastor, but they're carrying the banner of Jesus. And they're surrounded by increasingly unchurched, well, unbelievers, and unable to afford clergy and unsure of how to follow Jesus rightly. Many just kind of sit in confusion. I need to help those churches out. It's part of the mission of this program. If you believe in this work, would you consider getting a hold of us? Visit the website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. Or you can write us at Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, and the zip code in Chilhowie, 24319. That's 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.